speak.
Okay, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, just thank you that we're all gathered here on this lovely day. And I just pray that you will speak to us through your word and through what I say in my talk. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, I want to give you a bit of context for this passage in Joshua that we've heard. And obviously the book of Joshua comes after the Exodus from Egypt. It comes after the wandering in the wilderness of the people of Israel that we read in the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Joshua is all about the people of Israel entering, conquering, and dividing the promised land. And God is starting to fulfill his promise of a promised land in the land of Canaan that he gave to Abraham in the book of Genesis. And at the beginning of the book of Joshua, God first of all commissions Joshua, who's taken over from Moses. And he says, like Moses, I will be with you always. I will never fail or forsake you. Then, as we heard last week, Joshua then, having been commissioned by God, sends out these spies into the city of Jericho to suss out this city that God may give them. And as we heard last week, the spies were protected by Rahab the prostitute. And they obviously returned to tell the people of Israel what they'd seen. And then something amazing happens in the book of Joshua. God gives them the command to cross the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. And so what happens is the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant, this big wooden box covered in gold that holds the tablets of stone. On the tablets of stone were written the laws of God given to Moses on the mountain. And as the people who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant step into the Jordan, this massive river, swollen because it's the springtime, all of a sudden the flow stops. And the people are able to walk over the River Jordan because there's a wall of water stopping the river flowing and drowning them. It was a miracle. And so all the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, Israelites, cross the river. And they thank God. They give thanks to God in the book of Joshua. They build stone altars. They recommit themselves to God. The men get circumcised. They celebrate the Passover. They celebrate their release from Egypt. And then we come to this passage that we've read. And God shows the city of Jericho to Joshua. It's shut up in fear. There are people who have locked, the people of Jericho have locked themselves behind these mighty walls we've seen in this video. They're scared of the people of Israel and their God. And how are they going to take this city? How are they going to take it? Well, God gives the people six commands. The first is to march around the city. He wants to form a procession. First of all, there's going to be warriors at the front of the procession, maybe with spears. Then there's going to be seven priests blowing seven trumpets. Then there's going to be the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And then at the end, there's going to be this rear guard. And presumably, as this procession goes around the walls of the city, the people of Israel, the hundreds of thousands of people, follow. So that's the first command. They're to march around the city. They've been told to go around it once each day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, do it seven times. The second command that God gives is for the people to be silent. And there are these hundreds of thousands of people, including babies, little kids, grown-ups. They've all got to be quiet as the procession happens each day. The third command is when Joshua says, the people are to shout at the top of their voices. Because apparently the wall will fall down at that point. The next command is to charge. With the walls fallen down, they charge and they're to take the city. That's the fourth command, the charge. The fifth command is to look after Rahab, the prostitute, who has protected the spies, and to honour the oath that the spies gave Rahab to protect her and her family. And the final command is to not covet, not to be interested in all the valuables that will belong to God in the city that they're about to take. So the people of Israel go along with this. They demonstrate great obedience and devotion to God, and they do this thing for 7 days. And they're following the promise that they made to Joshua, which we read at the beginning of the book of Joshua in chapter 1, verse 16, where they say that all that you have commanded us to do, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. They say that to their leader, Joshua, who's telling them what to do from God. So these people clearly are trusting in God's plans, and they're expectant. Why wouldn't they be expectant after what happened at the River Jordan? They're happy to stand up for the Lord, to blow their trumpets for him. And they know that God is walking with them. His presence is symbolised by the Ark of the Covenant. So these people play their part in this ritual march. But it's their faith that God uses. It's their obedience to him and their faith and their expectancy that causes, when they shout at the top of their voices, these hundreds of thousands of people, you can imagine the scene, God makes the walls fall down. These massive walls, they come tumbling down. Anything is possible with God. That's what the angel Gabriel says to Mary as she's telling Mary about the birth of her son and about her cousin Elizabeth, who is expecting an old age. Anything is possible with God. I was speaking to Robert earlier on. He went to New Day in Norwich, and there was loads of healings, wasn't there? People were healed. People who were on crutches basically threw their crutches to one side. Anything is possible with God if you were expectant and were obedient to him. So, some of you may not be aware of this, but I am the Associate Church Warden here at Christchurch. And you might be thinking, really? So you're probably asking, what do church wardens do? Well, according to paragraph 4 and 5 of Canon Law E1 in the Church of England, there are a few things that church wardens are meant to do. One of my duties is to ensure order and decency at church services. And I've worn a special shirt, so just watch out. Another one of my duties is to make sure I look after all the possessions of the church. And Chris has been nagging me since February to sort out an itinerary, a list of all the stuff, and I finally did it today, printed out and stuck it in the book. So I've got to look after all the bits. Sorry?
There's a new broom.
I've got to update it. But another, it says, is to use my best endeavours, by example, to encourage parishioners to practice true religion. And I believe that here at our little new church, Christ Church, in this school, this new lovely school, which is in the middle of this field, I believe that God wants us to practice true religion by marching around North Ely, claiming the people who come to live here for Jesus, and being God's victory, just like the people of Israel at Jericho. And as we go about our ritual, our walking, our marching, we don't need the Ark of the Covenant anymore to know God's presence. Instead, through the faith we have in the risen Jesus, We know the presence of God is written on our hearts. And it says that in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. So I believe, as church warden here, that true religion is to faithfully meet each Sunday, to worship, to welcome new people, and to pray for the new homes and the new communities, that they will be one for Jesus. I believe that true religion is to expect Jesus to answer our prayers, and I know he will, and to always be ready, like the faithful people of Israel, to shout his name at the top of our voices. And the walls will fall down and the hearts will melt for Jesus here in North Eden. So, I've got some questions for you. And they're on the screen. I thought might be quite nice is to think about who we might relate to in the passage that we've read as we go on our march for North Ely. And there was a number of characters. There was the warriors. There were the people, the priests with the trumpets. There was people who had to be silent and then to shout at the top of their voices. So why don't you have a little bit of a chat on the tables about who you might be. And you might like to draw, maybe, what you might look like on this march around North Ely. So we're going to do that for five minutes or so, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.